Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. Abortions are unavailable in several states after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade Friday. Abortion bans went into effect immediately in some places, while some clinics are closing in fear of prosecution. The court held 6-3 to end the right to abortion, which had been in effect for almost 50 years. Republican Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana welcomed the decision.
It's a victory for millions of people who have been part of this pro-life movement for decades, who have gone to state legislatures, who have gotten involved in the political process, who've prayed, and prayers were answered today.
Reaction to the Supreme Court decision from supporters of abortion rights has been swift and fierce. As NPR's Melissa Block reports,
the head of the National Abortion Federation, Melissa Fowler, called the court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade abhorrent and vowed this is just the beginning of a new fight. Amy Hagstrom Miller, president of the abortion provider Whole Woman's Health, called the ruling a heinous decision and pledged, "We will keep fighting like hell against the anti-liberty, anti-family, anti-rights extremists responsible for this monstrous attack." And the president of the advocacy group Catholics for Choice, Jamie Manson, called the decision unconscionable, adding, quote, "No matter what the bishops or the court say, our faith is clear. Abortion is a human right." Melissa Block, NPR News.
As airlines face increasing criticism for widespread flight delays and cancellations this summer, the industry is shifting some of the blame to the Federal Aviation Administration. NPR's David Shaper reports.
Amid surging demand, airlines have canceled more than 17,000 flights since Memorial Day weekend, while nearly one in four flights has been delayed. The airlines blame bad weather and a pilot shortage and now air traffic control problems. In a letter to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, the group Airlines for America says a key air traffic control center in Jacksonville, Florida, has been understaffed for 27 of the last 30 days, crippling East Coast traffic flows. They want to meet to discuss the FAA's staffing plan for the busy upcoming 4th of July weekend. Last week, Buttigieg told airline CEOs to make sure their flight schedules meet their own staffing shortfall realities. David Shaper, NPR News.
The House passed a gun safety bill Friday, which had been approved by the Senate. It's the first such limitation on gun ownership to clear Congress in 30 years. It would help the states enact so-called red flag laws that would prevent people deemed to be a danger to themselves or others from obtaining weapons. The White House says the president will sign the bill into law Saturday morning. This is NPR News. President Biden leaves for Europe Saturday for back-to-back summits. He'll first attend the G7 meeting of the world's leading economies, held this year in the Bavarian Alps. Later in the week, he'll travel to Madrid for a gathering of NATO members. The International Atomic Energy Agency says it's increasingly concerned about conditions at a Russian-occupied nuclear power plant in Ukraine. NPR's Jeff Brumfield has more.
In a statement, IAEA Director General Rafael M. Grossi said Ukrainian workers faced, quote, extremely stressful conditions at the plant. Unconfirmed reports earlier in the week suggested that employees were being held against their will and abused by Russian troops. The nuclear plant, located at Zaporizhia, is Europe's largest. It was taken by Russian forces in March. Although it's under Russian control, its Ukrainian staff are the only ones qualified to run the facility. The IAEA says it wants access to the plant so it can independently assess conditions there. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News, Washington.
A ceremony was held Friday in Surfside, Florida, to mark the one-year anniversary of the collapse of a 12-story oceanfront condominium. 98 people died. It was one of the deadliest building collapses in U.S. history. The cause of the collapse remains under investigation. This week, a Florida judge approved a more than $1 billion settlement to compensate the victims' families and their survivors. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.